Good morning, church. We're grateful that you're here with us. Welcome to Park Street Brethren Church, whether you're viewing from home or right here in the old building with us. It is I, Pastor Nate, grateful to be with you once more. This past week at the office, I was doing something on my desk, and I have a house plant there that requires indirect sunlight. And I was cleaning some things, and I put it on the windowsill and forgot about it. And I came back over the weekend, and it was looking a bit scorched. But I believe I have intervened at an early enough time to save the plant, put it back where it goes, and water it. But this idea that being in too much light can scorch and wither seems like a strange thing for us humans who love sunshine and who are getting ready to enter this winter season where we wish we had more sunshine. But we're about ready to enter into an Advent season. And in our sermon series over Advent, starting next week, we're going to be talking about passages in which angels come to humanity to proclaim the coming birth of King Jesus. And they say one thing over and over again, don't they? They say, "Fear not." In the presence of the holiness of God's messengers, humanity tends to wither, right? That's why they need the encouragement. It's too much direct light. God's goodness is too real, too intense, too much. And yet, in the midst of that beautiful power and declaration, there's this message to fear not. And so I'm so looking forward to diving into Scripture with you in this Advent season beginning next week, talking about the ways that God is encouraging us and sustaining us, even in this very peculiar time, to fear not, to trust Him. Today we're going to be finishing up our series, Wilderness Survival Kit, a guide to spiritual flourishing when your world becomes wild. We've been looking at spiritual practices and disciplines that the Christian church has been implementing for the last 2,000 years. These are practices that have strengthened men and women to become more faithful and obedient to Jesus. And we've kind of been looking at them in large categories on Sunday mornings, and then in our small group times, we have been diving in to more specifics. Today, we're finishing the series with the spiritual disciplines connected to prayer. It's a good spiritual discipline. I hope you're engaging in regularly. And today, our scripture passage comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Maybe perfectly, this text is often used as an Advent text, so we're kind of getting a two-for-one here, a setup to Advent as well as an encouragement for us to be a people of prayer. So let's turn to Scripture this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're just going to be in a few verses this morning, verses 16 through 18. Here's the Word of God for the people of God this morning. Scripture says, "Rejoice always." How you guys doing on that? Check. "Pray continually." Some translations say, "Pray without ceasing." How you doing that? "Give thanks in all circumstances." How you doing with that? "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." At our house a couple weeks ago, our side door, which is the door that we use 98% of the time when coming into our home, began having a hard time latching, engaging the lock mechanism. I assumed that it was because weather was changing, and this house was built in 1936, so you know there's some shifting and some warping that's happening. And so my brilliant solution was to slam the door as hard as humanly possible every time I needed to close it, which did engage the latch mechanism about 50% of the time. And it was always the most painful to do it after we had put the children to bed and we're going around and doing our like last check-ins, turn out the lights, lock the doors, when I would go, oh yeah, I have to slam this door. And so if you've ever wanted to really mess with yourself, try to slam a door hard but quiet. Try to get your head around that one. Because if I don't slam it hard, the latch is not going to engage, but I don't want to wake up the kids, so it's a lot of... Luckily for us, I am not the only human who lives in my house, and my wife has brain cells. And so rather than simply slamming the door as hard as humanly possible, she decided to look at the actual mechanisms involved in closing and latching a door. And did you know what this genius discovered? She discovered that, what's it called? The strike plate was simply loose. And so that fix took about 2 seconds. Life is full of challenges, yeah? Life is full of unexpected difficulties, Brett was talking about in his testimony. And sometimes when we're just reacting to things as they pop up, we don't stop and look at them closely. We just try to slam through, don't we? Just push through. I don't have time to investigate what's causing this difficulty. I just need to get the door closed so I can go on to the next thing, right? And it's just going to require a little more effort to push through for now. And I think we're on month 9,007 of just pushing through with more effort. Are you tired yet? I'm tired. And there is an invitation for followers of Jesus not just to keep slamming the door, but to pause and to take a step back and to consider and to listen. And that's the invitation of prayer. Prayer is an incredible gift because it's a gift that God gives us in which He is initiating relationship with His people. 1 Thessalonians, many Bible scholars believe, was the very first book written in all of the New Testament. Obviously, chronologically, it's not the first events, but as far as the recorded date, there's a lot of consensus that 1 Thessalonians is probably the earliest work we have. And some of the background is that this is the Apostle Paul, newly converted to faith in Jesus after this dramatic experience with the resurrected Christ on his way to persecute the Christian church. And Paul has kind of with another missionary, started visiting this town in Thessalonica, and he is preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden there's a community of faith that begins to form. People are interested in hearing about this Messiah named Jesus, and then in fact many people end up coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing about this church that Paul plants in Thessalonica is it's a diverse church. It means that there are Jewish people who begin to accept Christ as their Messiah, but there are also pagans and Greeks who otherwise wouldn't have had any knowledge of the Hebrew faith tradition that they come to faith in Jesus. And so this new community forms. Paul's first church plant, in essence, begins to become this vibrant alternate witness of what it looks like to follow Jesus. But then, you know, life happens, challenges happen, difficulties happen, and folks on both sides the Jewish religious community as well as the Greco-Roman community begin to see this new Christian community emerging, and they don't like it. And so a very intense suspicion and then persecution of the church breaks out. And in fact, Paul has to flee for his own life from the church in Thessalonica, even though he and this church really got on well. I mean, we know some of his strained relationships with some of the other churches, right? There's not a lot of love lost between him and the church in Corinth, but in Thessalonica, they love them some Paul, right? Paul is their guy, and Paul loves them. They treated each other so well. They have such a fondness for one another. And so Paul flees Thessalonica, but he's thinking about these families that he's spent time with. He's thinking about these men and women and wondering what's going on. And so he dispatches Timothy to go to Thessalonica and to see what's going on and to bring him back a report. And so Timothy does. And the report back to Paul is basically, things are really bad. There's persecution. There's martyrdom happening. People are being killed because of their faith. But the church is growing, they're vibrant, and they're joyful. That's the news Timothy brings to Paul. The church that is experiencing incredible hardship is growing, they're thriving, and they're joyful. And so this letter is Paul's response to that news. He's responding to the reality that these people he loves and he knows are going through intense suffering, and they are thriving somehow in the midst of it. The gospel is not being pushed aside or reduced, but in fact, it's being proclaimed with even more boldness. And the whole book deserves a lot of time and attention that I wish we could give to, but we simply don't have time for this morning. But this section at the end is his conclusion, right? So after encouraging the church, after challenging the church to continue to press on, and he even dials into some specific areas of personal ethics and theology that they might need a little tweak on. He answers some questions they have about people who have died, right? Because they have friends and family members who have been killed, and they keep waiting for Jesus to return, and they're like, what's that about? And he writes to them about in chapter 4 some of those things. And then at the end, he says, Let me have a prayer for you. He's a pastor, right? He loves his people. Here's a prayer. And among a few other things, these verses in chapter 16 through 18 are some of the things that he tells this community. Abby, would you put those verses back up, please? Thank you. This community that's being killed for their faith, the pastor who loves them says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And this is really important to me that you know this. Those three instructions, very brief, memorable. In the Greek, they all have the P sound, which means that Paul's implementing alliteration. We've got our first 3-point sermon where everything rhymes, okay? This is amazing. This is important for you to understand. Preachers aren't just doing this for fun. We're trying to follow Paul's example here, okay? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. I think prayer is hard for us because prayer seemingly isn't very active, right? When you're serving, it feels very active, right? When you are witnessing and sharing your faith with someone, it seems very active. Even when you're reading scripture and you're learning and you're engaging your mind, it seems very active. And prayer seems maybe like there's less work going on. And so maybe for those of us with a Protestant work ethic, maybe prayer seems like sometimes something that doesn't accomplish as much as other things that we could be spending our time doing. I'll say this. Worship is a response to God's goodness. In week one of the series, we talked about the disciplines connected to worship. Worship is a response, right? God initiates, we respond to his goodness, grace, and love. But prayer is an invitation, right? Worship is our response, but prayer in many ways is God's invitation to participate in the life of the Trinity and to cultivate an abiding relationship with God. Being in God's presence, perhaps on first glance, doesn't seem very productive. And yet, we know from the life and example of Jesus and the clear instructions of all of Scripture that it is vital to a healthy, flourishing, dynamic relationship with the God of the universe. It's just vital. So I recently got a gym membership, obviously. And that's been fun. And I've been learning about muscles because I am a 100% novice at some of these things. And I recently learned that you actually do not build muscle in the weight room. Muscle is built, really, in the bedroom. And for once, that's not a weird, like, innuendo from Nate. That's actual science. What happens in the weight room is you're breaking down muscle tissue, and when it's built is when you are sleeping or resting. It's repairing that broken down muscle tissue. And if you have enough energy and you have enough protein in your body, your body will rebuild some of that broken down muscle tissue. And so, I'm reading and I'm trying to learn. I'm learning how to lift a weight like 5 pounds. Like, come on, yes, do it. Yeah. Nailed it. 2 reps, done for the day. And I'm learning that resting is an essential, non-negotiable, vital part if you want to be healthy, if you want to grow muscle, if you want to be strong. And that's what prayer is for the Christian. Prayer is resting. It is. It's resting in the presence of the Lord. It's speaking to God. It's talking with God. And because of our obsession with productivity and efficiency, sometimes that means we think prayer is optional. It's not. It's critical. It's essential. You could work your little hind end off in the weight room and then get 4 hours of sleep a night and still look just as scrawny as your senior pastor does. Right? Because all you're doing is breaking down and you're not giving your body enough time to build up. Prayer is the time where we enter into the Trinity. We leave the chaos and the difficulty of all of life's challenges and we enter into God's presence and we listen and we speak and we rest. And in those times, guess what, church? God is building us up. 3 disciplines we're going to try to practice this week as we pursue praying continuously. The first is conversational prayer. This is prayer in which you get together with 1 or 2 more people, and it's just kind of, what do we call it? Sometimes we call it popcorn prayer. You know, just like anybody who wants to pray, prays out, whatever comes up, and it's conversational. You don't have to thee and thou it. You don't have to, you know, you're just talking to God. And it's like, you know, you're inviting God into your conversation. You're listening, you're pausing. Intercessory prayer. Our world needs it right now. It's when we're praying on behalf of others. We're praying for specific outcomes, for difficult situations. We're praying for God to come and to bless someone else, to show up in these other situations that we otherwise have no control of. Intercessory prayer is really important because it's a way that we can cry out to God, lift others up. And as someone who is on the receiving end, a lot of time for intercessory prayer, I talk to people all the time and they say, we're praying for you. And I always say the same thing. Thank you, I need it. And somewhat feels tongue in cheek, but it's really not. I really do. And if you've been through difficulty in life, if you've been through hardship and you have a strong Christian community around you, you know what that feels like when others lift you up in prayer, don't you? It's like, I actually don't know how I got through that week. And then you hear a bunch of people were praying for you and you go, well, that makes sense. We're asking the Lord to supernaturally somehow make his will and goodness known in these situations. And the last one is probably one of my favorites. It's listening prayer. And that's prayer when you get together with God and for the love of God, you just shut up for a little bit, right? We so often come to the Lord with our Christmas wish list and then also simultaneously wonder why there are times where we feel distant from the Lord. And listening prayer can be scary because, you know, how do you know what you're hearing is from the Lord or if it's just some weird passing thought? You know, there's all these challenges. But there are a lot of ways that we could deal with those things. And the first and best one is to test it against Scripture, right? If it's alignment with Scripture, that's the first kind of gate that you can put things through. You get another community of people that you know love the Lord and have wisdom and you run it by them. There are a lot of ways that you can discern if the thing that you're hearing is the Holy Spirit or if it's not. But getting quiet, I don't know any relationship that I've ever had in my life that was a deep, meaningful, intimate relationship in which I did 100% of the talking. Do you know any of those? So we're praying. And prayer, weirdly, has become a slight point of mockery for the world. In the last few years. That's fine. the world thinks that prayer is something that Christians engage in to help comfort ourselves. And maybe that's a side effect, but the point to coming to prayer isn't to comfort ourselves, but it's to commune with God and to seek his face so that he might change the world. That's why we pray. Comfort happens, but it happens because we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus, not because we did some incantation, right? So as we finish this series, thinking about the ways that Christians have faithfully, if you have that book that we suggested, Spiritual Disciplines Guidebook by Adele Calhoun that we've kind of been using as a companion text for this sermon series, you'll know that under the category of prayer, there are a lot of entries. It's because prayer is really, really important. And even though it seems simple, like we're just talking to God, and that's true, there are actually a number of ways that the church is engaged in this practice, all of which are fantastic, invigorating, and again, vital if you want to have a faith that is strong in Christ. We're gonna worship one more. We're trying to be conscious of time this morning so that we can start our town hall meeting. So we'll have the band come up. And I'll just say as closing, one of the fun things, yeah, come on up. Oh, yeah, we got time. Just make it quick. So one of the things I'll say in closing is that at my house, there's just a constant, literally seemingly constant invitation for me to do something with one of my kids. Monty really wants to play basketball. Whitaker really wants to play a board game. Rosie really wants to draw or do something. I mean, and then like the requests are constant. And so we just literally can't say yes to all of them. Otherwise, you'd never see me again, right? But you need to say yes to some of them, right? Like, because otherwise, your kids are like, what the heck? You know, like, where's my dad at? And every moment, Jesus is asking, do you want to spend time with me? And Paul's encouragement to his dearly loved church, his first church plant, and his encouragement to this church thousands of miles away, 2,000 years later, is the same. It's to keep praying. Keep praying. God's inviting you into his presence. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to sustain you. It's going to allow you to rejoice in any circumstance. Why? Because you're going to have a faith that's strong, not because you're working hard and you're slamming hard, but because you're resting in the presence of Jesus, who alone sustains us. Let's stand together. We're going to worship, and then we're going to change gears and have some talk time, house meeting thing. Benediction this morning, may you become a people of prayer. In the midst of a world that is frenetic and constantly antagonistic and frustrated, may we be a peculiar people who pauses, who gets still, who puts our hope in Jesus. May we never neglect the importance of prayer. And may that strengthen the church to bear witness to Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' strong name, and God's people said, amen.